Good morning.
Press conference.
Good morning. Welcome to Avalon Community Church, our 10:30 service. For those of you visiting today, we're notifying the Conservancy of a new waterfall in Avalon. So this is part of our eco tour this morning. Nice. This is great. John, thanks for the explanation. Otherwise, that's pretty cool. But it is a lot cooler in here. I want to say good morning to our children. Give them a clap, you guys. Look at all these kids.
High five, high five, high five, high five, high five, high five, high five.
And also to our campers this morning. A few did not have to work today, and a few are not attending the Catholic Mass going on next door at 11. Let me have you guys come on up if you would. Welcome to our FCA campers this morning. We are home. It was a great week.
Here you go, bro.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes started in 1951. I attended camp, not then, but I attended camp when I was in high school. And a very important person came alongside me and stayed with me throughout my high school, letting me know God loves me. Don't quit, Andrew. Keep pushing through. Persevere. And man, am I blessed to say that FCA is not just on the East Coast of the United States. It's all over the West Coast. It's all over the place. Believe it or not, we have an FCA on Catalina Island. Yeah. A lot of hands. A lot of hands in the pile for that. And a lot of great people have prayed for that. And a lot of great people have helped sponsor that. And it's in our school. It meets every Monday. As a result, the group started with three. And we now have anywhere from 32 to 37 every single Monday. Miss Finley gave up her classroom, which is perfect where it sits on the campus there. God is doing some new things. And I mean, we need that. And sometimes he's there to renew old things. That's great, isn't it? You know, and I see him renewing some things. The school is not new to FCA, but it's been a while since they've had it. So it's great to see it come back. Well, the biggest camp, the largest camp they have in the United States is at UCLA. It is called the Western Region FCA UCLA Sports Camp. And people fly from all over the United States for that one in particular because the facilities are great, and they do it, and they do it big. They also had Derek Minor there, which is, if you've heard of Lecrae and Tadashi and Tripoli, one of the speakers there was a great rap artist. In addition to Damian Hopgood and our top 10 world surfers, they had a great experience. So here's a few of our campers today, and we're really glad that they're here. I want to break the ice, though. Our FCA president could not be here this morning. They called her in to Descanso Fresh. And let's put her video on there and say, Faith, how did camp go?
Hi, everybody. So my name is Faith Glass. I'm the president of FCA for Avalon. I'm really sorry I couldn't be there with you guys today. I'm actually getting ready for work right now. But I just wanted to thank all the donors who donated, because without you guys, we would have not been able to go to camp. That camp has single-handedly changed my life forever, because I reconnected with God this weekend. I rededicated my life to him, and I'm so blessed for that, because this camp changed my life. I wanted to thank you guys so much. I know you guys are remaining anonymous, but thank you for everything you do. Thank you for your good heart. Thank you for letting us all come closer to God. You guys are truly amazing, and I hope you guys all have a good morning. If you guys have any questions, don't be afraid to ask these amazing people right in front of you guys, because they're amazing. Or me, I work at Descanso Fresh. If you guys want to stop by, give you a coffee or something. Have a great day. Bye, guys.
Very cool. All right, Poppy, your experience at camp. Now, you're a two-year camp? Two-year camper?
Yeah.
All right, man. And what camp did you go to?
I went for baseball again. My favorite part about this year was just, like Andrew said, there was a lot more kids, about 1,200.
1,200 campers.
Yeah. So the Poly Pavilion was filled with a bunch of people that just worshiped God. It was amazing to see everyone's hands in the air praising God. It was unbelievable. Baseball for me is really important in my life. You know, hopefully I can go far with it somehow. And but you know, other than that, it was amazing just seeing everyone put the glory first of God and just play all the sports we love while loving God. So it was amazing. My favorite part was program again. It was just the way everyone was themselves and worshiping. It's just amazing how we can all come together and just love Jesus.
Give it up for Big Poppy. Thank you. Poppy's also one of our officers, too, at the FCA. And Grace, which camp did you go to inside the FCA camp?
I went for soccer.
Cool.
My favorite part was, like you said, the program at night, but like specifically it was the worship, because it's like it's so cool. You see like literally like over 1,000 kids around you, like just like worshiping God, and it's really like it's just really cool to see, you know? Like you don't feel like weird, you know? Like to raise your hands or anything, like you just don't feel weird. You're just like you feel really comfortable, and like everyone is just really accepting and open. It's really fun. It's really awesome. So that was my favorite part. And a verse that stood out to me like this week that like I heard like the huddle leader share it and everything, and it was like a really cool verse, so I'll share it with you. It's Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So, yeah.
Very cool. Give it up for Grace. Alexa, you feel like it? You up for it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. Alexa, which camp did you go to?
I went for volleyball, and my favorite part of the camp was, as Grace and Jay said, the worship. I thought it was really cool how, no matter like how quiet or shy you were, you could just like raise your hand and feel yourself and not be embarrassed to be praising God in a giant room of people, and yeah.
Give it up for Alexa. It seems to be the trend here, that program, people praising God together. It's really cool. Hannah, anything?
Okay, so I went for basketball, and I thought it was really cool how to see, like incorporate God into your game and like practice both of them and worship, and it was really cool.
Very cool. Thank you. Give it up for Hannah. Woo! Serene, you're tall. Tell me, which sport did you choose?
I went for volleyball, and probably like one of my favorite parts of it was like program, because sorry my voice is kind of gone because I was yelling at program, but like every song, like we'd all just like stand there and like scream at the top of our lungs to like every song, and like it was just really cool because then we got pretty close. Like you'd form friendship with the people that you like barely even know. Like within like 3 hours we were like best friends with everybody in our huddle. And it was pretty cool, so yeah.
Okay, so huddle. Yes, give it up for Serene. You keep hearing the word huddle. Huddle is another word for small group, okay? Just like an athlete's huddle where they're getting the plan together, everybody comes in to the huddle. All sports have one. And that's when they say huddle, that's their small group breakout, okay?
Cool.
Beto, you didn't get the memo, dude, but it's okay. What you got, man?
I went for basketball, and my favorite part was the program and huddles because you got to learn more about God.
Okay. And did anything happen while you were there in your experience at huddle?
Yeah, I dedicated myself to God.
Very cool. Just so you know, man, I want you to look around. You're not alone. These people support you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to love on you, and they're not going to quit on you. Guys, these are athletes in our school, all right? And there's others that are on the screen that are from our school. These guys are not from Overtown. You rub elbows with them in Vons. You see them down on the beach. You can come watch them on the field and in the court. Pray for them. Love on them. Do not quit on them. They are fighting against a great enemy, okay? But he's not victorious in the end. I've read the book all the way to the end. I know who wins. I'm letting you know. But they need your prayers. They're already coming against stuff. You know, not all coaches here are Christians. And when they're in a camp that is just one giant pep rally for what God has done to create them and who he wants to be in their life, and they leave that, it gets hard, doesn't it? Okay? It gets difficult. Even for kids, it's hard. So keep them in your prayers, guys. Anyone else want to share anything else? FCA. Yeah.
So, a Bible verse that stood out to me is kind of a quick little story. So, my freshman year, first time doing FCA, I don't really remember. Andrew reminded me, but the first Bible verse I ever shared in front of the group was Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19.
And so at the camp, they put it up in, as one of the like bigger Bible verses on the screen. And I read it, it's the verses, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And so that is just on the boat ride back, Andrew reminded me that I had brought it up my freshman year, and to think that it came up to the big screen at the camp, it was just, I guess I thought it was God's way of telling me that I'm supposed to be there, like, you know, it was just a blessing. So, yeah.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, one more.
Okay. This was actually my fourth year going, and I have to say this was probably the best year because, like, every year, I don't know, we, like, when we go, we already have, like, a huddle group for us, and this year they didn't do it. They did it a little differently where, like, you go, like, you get put in a huddle as you show up. So, like, yeah. And so I got put in a huddle group with all girls, like, younger than me. Like, I think, like, six of them were, like, sophomores. One was a freshman. One was a junior. And I was the only senior. And then, so, like, it was really, I was like, oh, gosh. Like, you know, like, this is going to be weird. But actually, it was, like, so crazy. It was, like, so cool. Being, like, I didn't even know any of them were, like, younger than me. I didn't realize it. I didn't think about it. It was just, like, and plus, like, they were just, like, some of the girls had grown up in church, but some of them, like, haven't, and they were just, like, totally new. And this one girl, she moved here, like, this year from El Salvador, and she barely spoke English, and she was, like, the coolest thing. And, like, she dedicated her life to Christ there, and it was, like, so cool, and she was just in my head all, and it was great. So this year was, like, my favorite year, even though all the girls were, like, younger than me, but, like, they really opened up and, like, taught me a lot about, yeah, like, taught me a lot of new things that I didn't know, even though they were, like, younger than me. And so, yeah, that's my cool experience.
Hey, for our kids here, I think we'll just continue the worship. Go ahead, Daniel.
There's revival in the spread, like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and this lasting all week long. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? It's the great gospel song. Won't you choose it? You can recall every
Bye, guys. We expect you to all look like that in a few years as you sit in these pews. So, Kate, we need to see it on the front row next week. Don't you love that? Why? Unashamed. Pure joy. And you know you want to do that. You know you want to. But we become adults, don't we? Yeah. That girl doesn't give a rip. Isn't it cool? I love it. And boy, did it. I was dying in my house when I played that video. I stumbled on it. Someone sent it to me. I'm like, no way. And I was throwing pillows. It was like, this is the coolest thing ever. In heaven, there will be all different types of worshipers. That one would be probably the one I would like to gravitate towards. That's a lot of fun. Thank you for being here this morning. There's a lot of energy in the air. It's summertime. Besides the heat, there is energy. And hopefully you have had an incredible week with a holiday in the middle of it. It's kind of unusual. As I look and I see these beautiful faces and even more that we get a chance to work with in coaching and different clubs that we're a part of. Some of you guys are teachers or you're administrators and you work with kids or you work with teens. The neat thing is when you engage in conversation like Poppy's doing, he's like, I get it. That's my favorite verse. It's just not by chance it's on the big screen right now. I think there's a connection here for me. I needed to be here this week. This verse is bleeding through my veins here. I need this verse. It's neat to discover that. It's neat when a teenager discovers that and you're there and you're a part of that. It's neat when an adult comes home and comes to the altar and says, I'm done. I'm done trying things my way. I'm done trying to look like everybody else. I'm gifted. I want to know this Savior and I want those gifts. I want to see what He can do in me. I want to see where God will put me. Who knows where you will bloom, where you are planted. And so this morning, starting something new that I hope can continue, we'll see, to come full circle. That's the best I could call it. Meaning that if God has set something up and knit you in your mother's womb, before you were made, He created you to be something and good at something and special, passionate at what you do. Guess what? As an adult, we kind of steer clear of that. And God's saying today, come back to where you started. Come back to what I designed you to be. Don't run. Full circle, come back, and I'll show you your giftedness. I'll show you what it looks like. My job is to teach the Bible and to preach it. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian. There's over 150 people that will be here over these three services, okay? It's going to be packed out this morning, right now, and then again tonight. And throughout the week, we meet with people, different venues throughout the year. You know, there's some here that are just called seekers. I realize that. You're checking this God thing out. You're just looking to see, is this what I'm interested in? I don't really know. I actually came to hear my kid this morning, and I don't usually come here. It's kind of interesting, a little warm, weird, drippy thing going on. But I'm checking it out. I'm just looking at it. They're not Christians. They haven't bought into what God offers, which is free. They respect a friend, possibly, that invited them. So if you're here as a seeker, I want you to know something. I'm so thankful that you're here. You've made an intelligent decision. And keep checking this whole God thing out. Don't check out. Even if the music isn't your style, or maybe it is, but even if it isn't, don't check out. Give God a chance. But I'm thankful that you were intelligent enough and care enough about your life that maybe there's a creator, there's a designer. Others in here, they're not perfect, but they're sold out. Literally, they love God with all their heart, and they're on fire for Him. They have a relationship. If you bump into them, they bring encouragement your way. You know the people I'm talking about. There are those. But then there's still those, and I've been found to be in this group too, growing up and attending church. They're kind of in the middle, and I would say that they would be considered those that are stumbling. They literally know God. They know who He is. They have a relationship with Him, but they have really struggled to see it get anywhere and go off the ground. So no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, I'm glad that you're here today. And guess what? There's two messages that if I had 5 or 10 minutes with you and we just had some time together down at the brew house, I'll tell you what. Message one would be this. I would want you to know God loves you. He is crazy about you. He is going nuts that you are here this morning hearing about Him. And in VBS, which is coming up in just a handful of weeks, He is going to express Himself to the children of this community, to the loving workers. They're going to feel God's love. This is it. God loves you. He's passionate about you. He wants a relationship with you, not religion. And guess what? It's hard sometimes for you to get your hand around this, but your whole life could be different if you had a relationship with God. I literally would begin tearing up if we were knee to knee and eye to eye and I were to share that message with you. It's a very passionate thing with me, but I realize what He's done for me is where the passion comes. And to say your life could totally be different as a result of this. This thing that could start with you and God could change your world. Second message is this. What am I going to do with my life is typically what I hear. had a 36-year-old guy. He has run the course, a very successful six-figure salary, and at age 36, he's not satisfied. And this week, we had a chance to chat. Actually, was a very good listener. It's been a while since we connected. And that was the first thing he said was, and he made the notes this week, what do I do with my life? I'm not finding this satisfaction. I don't think I'm making a difference. And I let him know, you can. This incredible playground, this beautiful place that God has created, especially Catalina, you can make a difference. Anyone I talk to will hear those things. And, you know, some people say, hey, time out, Hobbs. I mean, you don't know. There's just this excess baggage. And I stop and say, no, you time out. You're an original masterpiece. Just like that girl in the choir. She was cut out to move, not stand still. You couldn't tie her up. She would still move, right? She is, that's her DNA. That's her design. These beautiful teenagers that used to be children, they're designed to do what they do. They love basketball or they love soccer. They've been shown some things, and most of them will be shown other things, and they'll become even better at what they've done or learn new things. Their minds are growing. You're an original masterpiece. God wants you to make a difference in the world. Those are my two favorite messages right there. I mean, no matter what, whatever the conversation was, I would settle with that, that you can make a difference. But here's where the world comes in, and it throws this lie. And it says this. Here's the lie. You can't make a difference in this world. You can't do this. When you're a certain age, or let's just say you've got kids, or your finances are out of whack, and a house, maybe you're struggling with your payments, or your rent is due, or maybe your benefits have run out. You can't make a difference until you get all of that in order. Your life has to be in order. Maybe your kids are out of control. I got news for you. That's a lie. Amen? That's a lie. Man, you want to see dysfunction? You can start with my own home. I try really hard, but man, it doesn't say a pastor's home should be perfect. It says a pastor should be working to keep his home in order. It is constant in my home. It is constant in my neighbor's house. I can hear it, right? It's Avalon. It's a small town. There is no perfect family, no perfect marriage, no perfect home. If you're here this morning, you're seeking. You just heard that, all right? Know that. It's very true. God wants us, though, to understand where the lie comes in and where the truth comes in. Some of the most influential people in the world of all ages, all walks of life, have all risen above this thinking. I want to tell you, you are not excess baggage. The bottom line here is, don't believe that lie. God has created you for an incredible reason to discover what He has for you. And this morning, literally after moving out of I can't fix this, where we've got our hearts in order, God is directing us after a killer conference and understanding biblical purposes and moving people across and the way they move into His purposes. I want you to discover what God has for you. I want you to see His giftings in your life. Don't believe the lie. Don't become apathetic. God has created you for an incredible journey. And some of you say, dude, I don't care. I mean, you won't live with this apathy. You will care. And some of you in this room may not even know what the word apathy means, okay? And to say, I don't care, there's apathy right there. That's what it means. It's hard, but a lot of folks in here are struggling with those things. And when you discover how God's gifted you, and you look at what He wants to do to find what you're good at. I love the fact that we have all these different sports represented up here. Do you know they even have girls wrestling camp at FCA? Amazing. There's different giftings. Today is an overview. I'm not going to keep you in here long. It's warm. And I definitely want you to understand where we're going to go with this. But it's an overview. Great verse here. And David's talking. Listen to the words in reference to God. He says, oh Lord, You've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know my every thought when far away. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. I can never escape Your spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. Even in the darkness, I can't hide from You. To You, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to You. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. You and I are wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Isn't that beautiful scripture? I mean, that is poetry right there. David is knocking it out of the park, saying, you know me. You know me better than anything. In a whole other context in the Bible with this guy named Job, who had a pretty tragic life. Even in the midst of tragedy, Job says this, your hands form me and shape me. I realize that there may be a small percentage of you in here who believe that God did nothing to you, that he didn't form you, he didn't shape you, that he didn't knit you together in your mother's womb, that there was this evolutionary explosion and all of a sudden you came together. And from birth, you are a complex human and this is how this works. I encourage you, if you really do believe that, intelligently seek that out. I mean, just do the math. Actually, go sit under a tree for a while. Watch a sunset from the whale's tail. Just give it some time. Play that out. There is an amazing creator behind this. There's a designer. You're not an accident. You did not evolve from planets colliding. Our bodies, our world, our minds, our reproductive systems is too much complex. It points to a designer. And God doesn't design junk. My wife and now my daughter have been working with little ones for some time. Kindergartners have taught kindergarten. And basically it's a lot of cutting, pasting, drawing, and you know, there's a lot of crafts involved, a lot of artwork. And these are those kids that accidentally typically spill glue on their hands and stick them to the table, and it gets fun. It really does get fun. And I remember as my kids were growing up, and specifically that kindergarten age, they'd bring home a piece of construction paper, and it literally, they were so proud, Dad, look. And it just looked like someone took all the glue and sparkles and everything and just threw them up in the air, and it landed on the paper, and here it is. What do you think? You know, they were so proud. Just check this out, my masterpiece for you. And I'd be like, oh, you're so talented. For me. And I saved all of that stuff. You're really unbelievable. But what makes it amazing? I'll tell you what makes it amazing. The name. Alexander Hobbs. Madison Hobbs. Harrison Hobbs. Grace Hobbs. All of a sudden it has meaning. When I go to school and I go to the class and I see stuff hanging on the wall, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, that's trash. Oh, yeah, that's good, good, good. Grace Hobbs! Woo! There's a connection. I'm like, that is my kid. And parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You just go past everybody's artwork and you're like, oh, look at my kid made. It looks just like all the other ones, but your kid made it. It's original. What makes that an incredible work? The name, who it is. You might look at your life and say, my life, Hobbs, worthless, trash, junk. My husband or my parents abuse me. I'm bullied at work or on my team, which is even worse. Nobody likes me. People make fun of me. I'm not in the right crowd. My grades suck. God says this. Oh, I love you. You're on my team. You're in my family. I love you just like you are. I knit you. I formed you. And I created you. God has put his name on you. And I want a relationship with you. And in this series, don't be a spectator. Dive in. Don't sit in the stands, as they say at camp. Make a difference. Find out how God has shaped you. Use that for him. Let's take a look at these five things as I whip through them real quick. Okay? First thing is this. God wants you to literally look at your gifts, our gifts, spiritual gifts, and open them up. Here's what the Bible says about these things. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does work through all of us, okay? Different things that he's created in our lives, but the same God who does work through all of us. Spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. It's pretty loaded. It's great scripture. Church does not just mean Avalon. There are other churches on this island, and I respect all of them and have a good relationship with the leaders and even the people that attend those churches. They're wonderful people. It's an extension of the body of Christ just like we are. Amen? That's the way it works. And God says your giftings need to help the church. The church. Right? If I were to literally tell you how many Christians are on this island right now, and show you, they would not fit in this room. They wouldn't. The church is way bigger than these walls. Amen? It is. That's why we have multiple services. But there's work to be done outside of these walls, is my point. God simply says, I'm gifting you to go after those people. And your giftedness looks unique to you. I'm the same God, though, to all of them. Everyone's giftings. I'm the same God to help you work through it to better the church as a whole. That's such a beautiful thing. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith. And to yet another, and to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. Several Bible references you can look up, list of spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches on all of these, gifts that communicate God's word. Some of you probably don't know this because you haven't discovered this about yourself yet, but some of you may have the spiritual gift of teaching or preaching or even discernment in this room, knowing right from wrong, the gift of faith, the gift of encouragement, the gift of wisdom, which is having an unusual insight about life that some people don't have, the gift of service, the gift of mercy. How about hospitality? Where you love making people feel welcome. You take them into your home and you want to care for their needs. Some of you have that gift. I have that gift. I love that. I love people gathering, getting together. I also have the gift of giving directions. Okay? People come into town and want to stay in different places or even find my house. I'm like, okay, yeah, right over here. This is where you are. Shelly gets annoyed. I will stop and talk to most tourists and say, you have taken the golf cart in the wrong direction. And I just want to get them where they're going. She's like, oh, please, you know. That's just what I love to do. We're not all gifted the same, though.